to Bellwether Friends. Definitely not the first podcast featuring a discussion of pop culture and why we think you should like what we like. You should trust us because we're librarians. I'm Anna.
And I'm Aline.
Every couple of weeks, we get together and chat about a pop culture topic or two, what we think, and how we feel. We'll end the show with our current obsessions. This is episode number 101, Robin's Hood.
The whip.
Twang.
Whip.
Sound effect of arrow. Is that the sound of someone grabbing at the arrow in their chest and pitching off their horse? They do that a lot in Errol Flynn Robin Hood.
You know, Nils Shapiro was shot by an arrow in Broken Ice.
Right.
By Matt Goldman. You may have
he
heard me talk
Nils
about...
He shot Nils Shapiro with an arrow?
No. Well, yes.
But he did. It was from his quill that the deadly arrow flew.
So,
we're on topic.
Anna.
Aline.
You have been interested in Robin's Hood for a very long time.
I was trying to figure out the number of years. And given the handwriting on this Apple paperback from the Scholastic Book Fair, I'm going to say 25 to 30 years at a minimum.
I would say 32.
32 years?
Yeah, that's nine. That's a nine-year-old's handwriting.
Okay. 32, 30, it's been 32 years.
Just by your calculations. So, I think that this is a really good time for me to tell you an overview of the Robin Hood story.
Okay, great. I want to hear it from you, because I'm not very familiar, and I don't really know what to expect when I'm expecting Robin Hood.
Well, and it's always fun for our readers, who may or may not be familiar with the text that we're discussing, to have a brief synopsis.
Okay.
So, Robin Hood.
Pretend you're Renata.
Or Margaret. Robin Hood is about a dude.
Yeah.
In a green dress.
Jerkin.
I was going to say singlet.
Tunic. Not a singlet.
No, I know. That's why I didn't say singlet.
Okay, sorry.
And
I don't mean to interrupt.
And then you said jerkin. Maybe it's a surcoat.
He's not a knight.
This is going to be fun. So Robin
Hood. I'm
going to
try not to Robin-splain you too much.
Yeah, I'm here to be Robin-splained
okay.
to.
He's a guy.
With a hat, with a feather in it, and a green doublet. No. Jerkin. Tunic. Shirt.
Just carry on.
Mini dress. A green mini dress. Sometimes with green tights. In the case of Errol Flynn, a very mini dress.
Oh, yes.
Don't raise your arms too high. He is back from the Crusades with his trusty sidekick, or possibly guru, or maybe manservant. He is handy with a bow and arrow. He's been gone a while. People don't believe that it's him when he gets back into town, or they do believe it's him, but they believe he is in cahoots with those that have been oppressing in his absence. He's the lord of the manor, and he comes back, and he tries to come back into place, but some dude... Sometimes he's a well-dressed dude, sometimes he's a hairy dude, has been running the estate in his absence. So he was in the Crusades with Richard the Lionheart, and it is unclear why Robin has come home and Richard has not. Richard's bro, Prince John, has been running England into the ground, it seems. And everyone is in bad shape except Prince John and Guy of Gisborne and Maid Marian. More on that later. Robin's annoyed. He tries to take back the reins of his chariot estate, and hilarity ensues. There are some encounters in the woods. Friar Tuck shows up. Maid Marian shows up. There's some bunnies. He's so handsome. Oh, and he writes the Magna Carta.
That's only that one. Oh my gosh.
wish you could see her face.
So, story checks out.
Fill me in?
No, I don't need to fill you in, because what we learn by examining the historical record is that no one knows if Robin Hood was a real person or not. And it wasn't until the time of, like, Sir Walter Scott, I believe, that they located this legend in the time of Richard the Lionheart.
There's an archery contest.
Right. / Prince John. So, historically inaccurate.
Outlaws, merry men, Shortwood Forest.
Sherwood.
Scampering about.
Forest, yes. Little John, Will Scarlet, Alan Adale.
The Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yes.
Nottingham.
So,
wait. Stealing from the rich. And giving to the poor.
Oh, you kind of missed that part.
No, I didn't miss it.
That's an important part.
Taxes are a problem. More than one of the things that we reviewed said 1192.
Yeah.
Not 1191, not 1193, but 1192. Oh, and apparently Robin Hood's dad was a labor organizer.
That was just that one again. So in most of the ones, the modern retellings, there's that core cast of characters.
There are 11 of them. Did we list them all?
I think so.
I spelled sheriff wrong in my notes.
Well, just think of it as Shire Reeve. Because that is what sheriff is, a shortened version of Shire Reeve. Then you can spell it any old way you want. Like Nottinghamshire. Anyway. So, there's a core cast of characters, and Maid Marian...
Did you talk about Will Scarlet yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Was not among them until the Victorian age, I believe. And in the earliest Robin Hood tales...
So there were no ladies at all?
Right.
For like 500 years?
Right. In the earliest Robin Hood tales, he didn't rob from the rich and give to the poor. He just robbed people. And he was unpleasant.
Yes, I read one of those things. It was really cool.
Right. So we're going to link to some
Robin Hood.
Right. Robin Hood. Remember, oh, right, there were...
Bin Hood.
There are various interpretations of the legend. So basically what people, filmmakers and authors have done is just interpreted it however they feel is appropriate for their work.
And if you saw the 2018 film... The thing that was appropriate was...
Ahistorical costuming? Hoodies? Yes.
Jamie Foxx as a knight philosopher.
Right, uh-huh. Sensei.
Knight philosopher sensei. A triple threat. Mm-hmm. And Eggsy.
From the...
Kingsman
series. As Robin Hood. Robin Hood. So, what we're going to do is we're going to talk... We watched...
A lot of them.
And I think we can trace my obsession back to the Disney Robin Hood, which came up in our Animated Crushes episode, obviously.
Because he's so handsome.
He's soft butch ideal.
Yes.
And so we can trace my obsession to him.
Well, I came out before you were born, so.
Right.
And do you know if you saw it as a tiny, tiny Anna?
No, I doubt it. I mean, we owned it on VHS. I'm sure we got it from the video store before then. I spent a good deal of my time hanging out in the bushes next to my house in costume.
We have this costume, and we'll put a photo of Anna in costume in the show
often
notes.
With, like, actual face paint goatee action.
This is also evident in the photo.
I had an extremely large t-shirt on me of my dad's. It was green. I still have it somewhere. And I belted it in the middle, and it was a good tunic, and I had green tights. I experimented with various boot solutions, but that was not resolved until last year at the Medieval Festival. So I did a lot of Robin Hood cosplaying in my life. Between ages, let's say 10 to...
40?
19. And in the process, I collected Robin Hood books, and I read them to myself, and I discussed them only with myself. And I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I have strong opinions about what I like in a Robin Hood story. So while we talk about the movies that we watched, we can discuss all of their failings. Now, if we go chronologically, one of the best Robin Hood movies is The Adventures of Robin Hood, featuring Errol Flynn,
Olivia de Havilland,
and
Technicolor.
Right, in Technicolor, and the villainous...
Is it Basil Rathbone?
Yeah, Basil Rathbone. The three of them work together in a couple of movies. Films. So Basil and Errol have great chemistry in their fight scenes. And Errol and Olivia have great chemistry in their love scenes. And everyone is having a gay old time. And there's swashbuckling and men swinging down from trees on rope.
Errol and Will Scarlet have some good chemistry, too.
Everyone has good chemistry in that movie. So if you were picking one Robin Hood movie to watch for essence of Robin Hood, that's an excellent one. That one leans more heavily on the Saxons versus Normans angle. So some of them are in the context of we're being oppressed by King John because he's a jerk and... King Richard is, or I should say Prince John, because King Richard has been captured and Prince John is raising taxes and is in charge while he's away and we hate him. But some of the time it gets tied to, well, the nobility is all Norman and they came over and conquered us in 1066 and we're Saxon peasantry and we are mad about it still.
Is that the Patrick Berg and Uma Thurman one?
That one too, but the Errol Flynn one leans heavily on Saxon versus Norman ideas. Now, I was reading a book about the Normans, and King Edward the Confessor, was raised in the Norman court, and he basically willed the English throne to William the Conqueror, and then Harold decided that wouldn't do, and so he was like, well, I'm taking the English throne, and then William the Conqueror had to come over and enforce his rights.
Oh boy.
Anyway, so there are some of them who are more like, you Normans, how dare you?
Claude Rains is also in it. So this is from 1938.
Yep.
And it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, I mean, it's the best.
It's basically perfect.
It's basically the best. I mean, aside from the one that we're going to create when we have the unlimited budget.
Yes.
The animated Robin Hood is also very good. And hits on a lot of the points and has a lot of the characters you expect to see. I like ones in which the Maid Marian is not completely useless. You know, in the Errol Flynn one, she sneaks out of the palace and goes to, like, the rebel tavern and is like, this is what's happening! And then, you know, she has to be rescued at the end. See?
The Disney Robin Hood was from 1973.
Okay.
And it has a troubadour rooster. We've talked about this a little bit, but yeah. It's a classic.
That's your Alan a Dale.
That's your Alan a Dale. It has a lot of voices that you heard in the Jungle Book as well.
Right. The Disney Robin Hood has, as we talked about, some unfortunate gender stuff and seems more dated somehow than the 1930s one.
Yeah, in some ways.
So that's interesting. The next one that we watched was the Kevin Costner Robin Hood from
1991.
And it was still not good.
That is the one that Eddie Izzard makes fun of in Glorious.
Shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Okay.
We have a legend in this country. Legend of Robin Hood is our greatest legend we have. And Hollywood's stolen it. They stole it. They took it, made it their own. And they gave it an American accent. And we believe it now. English, British people, we believe it. Someone comes in, hi, I'm Robin Hood. Twang. I am from Nottingham. Nottingham boy, born and bred. Absolutely. I have now a Nottingham accent. And Maid Marian. Where is the Maid Marian?
I just can't get enough of that. That's why I call her Maid Marian. Thank you, Eddie.
In case you were wondering what that was about. The Kevin Costner Robin Hood has in it a lot of great actors.
Lots and lots of great actors.
So many great actors.
Alan Rickman.
Yes.
Kevin Costner. No. Sorry.
You're hilarious.
Aren't I? Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Yes. There were other people we saw and we were like, what, that guy?
Morgan Freeman, Michael McShane, Christian Slater. It's just, yeah, there's a lot of people.
However, it hinges on the performance of Kevin Costner, and it's just...
dreadful.
Terrible. His accent is terrible. I don't understand. 1991, I don't understand.
What were you thinking?
There's a trigger warning scene at the end. I mean, it's just...
Right.
It's not good, although it was not the worst thing we watched.
A couple of things that we did not watch. We did not revisit Robin Hood Men in Tights.
We did not. We did revisit it a few years ago, and we found that it was not very good.
Yes.
Not as good as I would want it to be.
We did not watch Robin and Marian.
Ah!
With Sean Connery.
And Audrey Hepburn.
So, that's something that we skipped mindfully.
We skipped it mindfully because I watched it innocently in my teens. And Sean Connery is like an aging Robin Hood. And I don't remember if he commits suicide or he dies and then Marian commits suicide or what. But anyway, for anyone that loves Robin Hood
and not a good choice.
Likes to visit the good times, it was not a thing.
Next up was the Patrick Bergen?
Yes. So the Patrick Bergen one with Uma Thurman as Maid Marian.
Thank you.
I liked as a teen, and I believe it was because there is a sexy scene in it. And probably only that reason.
Having revisited it recently, it has a lot of dark, damp, standing around in the woods being mad about the Angles and the Saxes politics.
It's Saxon Norman stuff, but there's a little bit of like Welshmen make good bows action. I would say it's definitely better than Kevin Costner. It's better than a few of the other ones we're about to discuss, but it's not there in the top tier.
Yeah.
What year was it?
1991. That can't
also
be right. Yeah.
Really? So, if you're watching one 1991
Robin But it's Hood. Got Jürgen Prochnow and Jeroen Krabbe.
Yeah.
If you're looking for your German and Dutch actors being Saxons.
Nope.
Anglos.
Nope.
Normans.
There you go.
Sorry. And Patrick Bergen has this porn stash.
Yes, this is the main downside.
That is a problem. And there's nothing wrong with Uma Thurman.
No, she's fine as Maid Marian. She's proactive. She dresses as a boy, she cuts off her hair, and she runs away and joins Robin's band.
I think I may know another reason you liked it.
So, pausing momentarily, it may have been an early warning sign that I spent all of my time cosplaying and identifying as Robin Hood and never as Maid Marian.
You think that's an early warning sign?
Yeah, it's the only sensible thing to do, part one, but part two, like, yes.
Good to know.
I mean, I could be wrong. What do you think?
I think you definitely swashbuckle.
I do like a swashbuckling. So, let us talk about the 2010...
Wait!
What?
We have to go back! 1991, Kevin Costner's Robin Hood. It's got Alan Doyle of Great Big Sea.
No.
Playing wrong. Alan Adale.
Wrong.
No.
But that's great. We're talking about
2010. Oh, we're moving on to the 2010 one. That's the one. Sorry. I do this all the time because I can't tell because they're all wearing brown. They're all wearing brown.
He said green.
Yeah.
In the intro.
That's because Robin Hood the Fox. Right. Is wearing green,
but,
and Errol Flynn is
But as we
green.
Get more modern, we get more and more
mud.
Monochromatically depressing.
Mud-colored,
okay. So
forest-dwelling,
the 2010 version.
Unwashed.
The 2010 Robin Hood stars Russell Crowe as a Robin Longstride and Kate Blanchett as Marion Loxley, whose father is Max von Sydow, also featuring Alan Doyle as Alan Adale. Oscar Isaac as Prince John.
Oscar Isaac, he's hilarious and so, so spoiled. Who's his mom?
Mark Strong as Godfrey.
Mark Strong.
Eileen Atkins as Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Okay.
It has a good cast.
So, Eleanor of Aquitaine is not always present.
She's never present.
And so for her to show up and be smacking her son on the back of the head when he's being a jerk is pretty cool.
It is great. We like Eleanor. I mean, if you want your Eleanor of Aquitaine, just watch Katharine Hepburn.
In The Lion in Winter.
Right. So that was nice. The best part about this one is also the worst part. So Robin is not a noble in this one. He is the son of a labor organizer.
Right. And stonemason.
And he comes back from the Crusades and pretends to be Lord Loxley.
Is it a Return of Martin Guerre kind of thing?
No, because everyone, like, the Max is his father, theoretically, and Kate is his wife, theoretically, and
fake dating.
It's like fake dating, where they're like, well, we're just going to pretend that you actually are him returned for reasons.
We did like the fake dating.
We like the fake dating part, but also, this is the one in which somehow Robin Hood is involved in the Magna Carta.
Yes, because his father, the labor organizing stonemason, carved it into some stone.
Or something. So, this one is the farthest from the standard Robin Hood story, but it has a great cast, and it's going out there on that limb.
Is this where we say...
Directed by Ridley Scott, I should say.
That's not where I was going. Is this where we say that it can be risky to learn all of your history from the movies?
I think, yeah, we should always say that.
Back in the 90s, there was a book called History According to the Movies that had essays by historians on historically set films. And it was an interesting book where you could see what was and wasn't correct. I like to learn history from movies, and it serves me well on Jeopardy.
So I'm going to read the afterword, or part of the afterword, from Robin McKinley's The Outlaws of Sherwood, which is a good modern...
Oh, Robin McKinley.
Modern adaptation. She said, "From my first paragraph, I have found myself falling into the gaping crevasses in my knowledge of English history. Growing up with Pyle, that's Howard Pyle, whose interpretations in the 1900s are like the classic... There were several things that simply were the truth about Robin Hood. One of them was that he shot a longbow. Another was that he lived in the time of Richard Lionheart. A third was that the Sheriff of Nottingham was his chief enemy. Imagine my horror when I discovered that the Sheriff of Nottingham did not administer Sherwood Forest, that the English did not commonly use the longbow until about 150 years after Richard Lionheart. I am no historian and never flattered myself that I would write a story that was historically accurate. I did, however, wish to write something that was, let us say, historically unembarrassing."
We should all aspire to such.
Yes. So, on the scale of modern Robin Hood adaptations, the Russell Crowe one is real weird. But, sure, why not? It spends a lot of time in France. You remember we were in France a lot with Mark Strong.
Right. So, the hopping from France to England in an era when there was no channel is confusing to me.
There were boats. It's not that far. You can swim.
It's 19 miles at the closest crossing.
I'm glad that you have that information in your head. And when did Vesuvius erupt?
79 AD.
Okay. So let us move to the most recent one, which is the Taron Egerton, Jamie Foxx guy from 50 Shades of Grey. Who else was in that one?
Jamie Dornan!
All the Jamies.
And Maid Marian is not anyone that we knew, and she... Her makeup was not as bad as the one in the TV series.
Well, no one's makeup is as bad as the one in the TV series. Ben Mendelsohn was the Sheriff of Nottingham. F. Murray Abraham was the cardinal. This one started off on the wrong foot, which is to say, we open in the Holy Land, which sometimes happens.
In a fist fight in the Holy Land.
No, it's like it's like a scene from a movie where there are special forces and
the opening scene of Hurt Locker is basically the opening scene of this. Yes,
the 2018.
I think I leaned over and said that.
You did, and I was like, I haven't seen Hurt Locker, nor am I ever going to, based on this scene. So it's people shooting arrows at each other as if they were modern projectile weapons, and there was a machine arrow shooter which could rapidly shoot arrows.
It was basically a Tommy gun bow and arrow.
Anyway, so it started there, and it kept up this promise of ahistorical
ahistoricity.
Cool looking, but giving those of us who like are just like a minimum of historical plausibility some kind of pains. So that one is a no from me. It's a no from me.
We saw this movie on opening day.
We did.
In a movie theater. We did. Just in case you were wondering. So we're part of the problem.
We are part of the problem. I mean, it seemed like everyone had a lot of fun doing it, but so it's not my jam. It's like as far away as you can get from Errol Flynn. But there was a little bit of heist movie action in it. So if you like heist movies, sure.
Lots of hoodies, some great jackets. Leather.
I can't even.
Quilted leather jacket. There was a quilted leather jacket.
There was, yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good times.
We watched two television series adaptations, one episode each.
Yes. Do you remember anything about the 1955 television episode that we watched?
It was black and white.
It was black and white. Anything else?
No.
No, me either. I mean, you fell asleep during it. So it makes sense that you wouldn't remember it, but I watched it and I still. It was black and white. It moved very slowly.
Super, super slowly.
And that's why you had to fall asleep in self-defense.
I do that.
But the theme song is one that my mother sang to me. And it was my first opportunity to hear it sung by the actual people and not just my mom. So here you go.
Robin Hood, Robin Hood, riding through the glen. His band of men, feared by the bad, loved by the good, Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood.
I don't know if she watched the show.
Probably. She was about the right age to have seen it on TV as a kid.
Right? So all we can say about that is that it's available on DVD. It's probably clips on YouTube. It was very black and white. It was so dark. Everything was
super
so dark.
Dark.
And, you know, that's all I got. The other one we recently watched.
Oh, that was like a BBC. It was on BBC America. It was young. It was like Merlin. If you've watched Merlin, it was like young people doing the Robin Hood thing.
And, you know, it was like this. It just was not our cup of tea. The women in it had the same makeup as Rose from the seasons of Doctor Who that she was in.
Yes.
And
as in, like, black eyeliner and mud-colored lipstick, in case.
And, like, that's just comic relief that wasn't funny. Sad parts that were not affecting. And, yeah, just not for us. Sorry.
So we watched one episode of it, and, you know, all of these things, like, maybe they got better, but
we have a lot of things to watch
that we are super excited to watch.
So, you know, sorry.
Not sorry.
Not sorry. The thing that all this brings up is you've got Robin Hood, you've got his band of merry men, you've got guys living in the forest, you've got one lady. Why are there not any movies in which Robin and Little John are hooked up Or...
See, I was really gunning for Will Scarlet and Robin to hook up from the Errol Flynn one at the outset.
Okay. As long as you weren't gunning for the Kevin Costner one in which they are half-brothers.
Right, they're half-brothers. Spoiler. Well, it's been done in fic.
So, there is a historical question as to whether King Richard was bisexual. And there is a book, a comic book called Merry Men by Robert Brodie and Jackie Lewis. Description. 13th century England. Robert Godwin's son, former lover of King Richard, lives with his band of merry men in Sherwood Forest, away from the watchful eye of Prince John, who has outlawed homosexuality.
You may know Robert Brodie from his book Drag Queen, and in the 90s he was writing in the queer oeuvre.
It says, it's Robin Hood like you've never seen him before, based on scholarly speculation about what's really behind the outlaw's legend.
Nice.
So, there's at least one book in which there are gay Robin Hood actions. Well, I mean, we seem to be transitioning here into books, which is good. I'm reviewed a lot of different options in an attempt to find newer adaptations that were not the same old thing. Because as I thought about it, I was thinking how problematic it is to take a white rich guy and outlaw him, quotation marks, briefly during the course of the action. So he's still a white, entitled rich guy. He just lives in the forest and robs whoever he wants. And by the end of the story, King Richard shows back up and pardons him, usually. And then he gets the merry maid, Marion, and he's back to his normal status. So having a rich white guy, cisgender white guy, as your hero is kind of boring. And so what I want to see are, like, adaptations where any of those things are adjusted.
We saw one with Keira Knightley.
We did.
Wait, Princess of Thieves.
Princess of Thieves.
She is his daughter.
I think it was a Disney.
It is a Disney movie. A live action Disney movie. She is his daughter. Is Robin Hood's daughter. And he has been an absent father. He's either been incarcerated or...
He's been off fighting somewhere.
Robbing the rich to give to the poor. And she's not happy about this, and she decides to...
She runs off to help him. She cuts off her hair, pretends to be a boy. She runs off to help him, and she meets King Richard's illegitimate heir, Philip. And shenanigans ensue, and it ends with them being in love, but not officially together, because, you know, she's super unsuitable. But yeah, so that was, you know, that's the only movie one we saw that had anything remotely. I mean, other than Russell Crowe being sort of a working class guy.
Right.
I guess it's not clear what the animated Robin Hood's class status was before he got outlawed.
He's a fox, so he's a predator. He's pretty high on the food chain.
Makes sense.
So
while I was looking for books, because... I love my standard Robin Hood, but, you know, I'm interested in adaptations that are showing me something different. So the ones I want to pursue are... Okay, so this one may be terrible, but 1995's The Sherwood Game by Esther Friesner. Computer game designer Carl Sherwood gets trapped in his own creation, and Robin has made improvements.
I like getting sucked into a game. That happened in a romance novel that I read, and I was here for it.
Yeah, I like that too. Here's a definite no movie that we didn't watch. Robin and the Seven Hoods.
Oh my gosh.
1964.
I told a coworker that we were doing a Robin Hood episode, and he was like, I saw this movie! And he started talking about it, and I was like, nope.
It is... set in Depression-era Chicago, Frank Sinatra is a mob boss called Robin Hood, a.k.a. Robbo.
Robbo.
And Peter Falk is his rival, Guy Gisborne. Also starring Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Bing Crosby. So if you're up for a Rat Pack Robin Hood, there you go. There you go. Also on the no list, James Black's Robin Hood versus the Plague Undead, 2011. I have a couple of notes to get through. A.C. Gon's Scarlet from 2012. There's like a love triangle. Scarlet is actually a girl hiding from a terrible past, which I like. But she must decide how much the people of Nottingham mean to her, especially John Little, a flirtatious fellow outlaw, and Robin, whose quick smiles have the rare power to unsettle her.
The rare power to unsettle her?
Right.
Okay.
So that's a no from me. Here's another no. Tim Hall's Shadow of the Wolf, 2015. Somehow, right. You told somehow me about Robin this one. Has... He's like the son of a goddess of the forest and immortal, and he has like... forest mind or a shadow sense and possibly as a werewolf. So, yeah. That's a thing that happened. Recommended the Robin McKinley Outlaws of Sherwood, which was from 1988. It's been a while.
Wow.
Also interested in reading Kekla Magoon's Shadows of Sherwood, a Robin Hoodlum Adventure, 2015.
Yes.
In which Knot City is taken over by a harsh governor and Robin's parents disappear and she and a band of misfit kids must figure out what's going on. It's the first in a trilogy.
Okay.
Interested in reading Stephen R. Lawhead's Hood, 2006, because it's also the first in a trilogy. He wrote this really long historical note in which he was like, you might not think that setting this tale in Wales makes sense, but here is X and Y. It makes perfect sense. The Welsh are the longbow users. There's a lot more forest here than there was in England at that historical time. Blah, blah, blah. Sure. I mean, I'm sold, Stephen. Carry on.
Yes, we were both convinced by this.
Right. So it uses Celtic mythology and the political intrigue of medieval Britain. It includes a pronunciation guide. So if it has a pronunciation guide and historical notes, I'm happy.
You are on board.
I'm happy. C.N. Phillips's Robin the Hood, 2017. Robin is female and is on a team of outlaws hired to collect debts or souls, but a double cross leads her to face a surprise enemy. I don't know what that's about. I don't know what the surprise is. I didn't read.
We've had stacks and stacks and stacks of these checked out from the library, and I really, really wanted to like Muppet Robin Hood, a graphic novel, and it spent too much time setting the scene, being 1192 in Sherwood Forest and everything. It took too long to get to Miss Piggy being a super sassy Maid Marian, and the art had... Kermit looking a little too...
Just not Kermit-ish.
Down and just out.
Not Kermit-ish.
Yeah.
I've got a few more and then
I'll... So I'm ready for there to be a Muppet Robin Hood movie.
Yeah, I think that would be good. Yeah. I've got a few more. So, Catherine Lasky's, this is a YA, Hawksmaid, The Untold Story of Robin Hood and Maid Marian, I think 2010 or 2018, depending on my handwriting.
Great.
So, before she was Maid Marian, she was Maddie, dot, dot, dot. So she's the daughter of Nottingham's falconer, and she could talk to falcons, and her friend Finn becomes Robin Hood. And it has a glossary and falconry tips at the beginning of every chapter, because she's like a person who writes the falconry book or something. Anyway, so that's an interesting twist. Another one is a romance novel by Beth Moran called Making Marian, which is 2014, and the tagline is, "Where's Robin Hood when you need him?" The author lives in Nottingham, and this is a UK import book.
Great.
So Marian is from Northern Ireland and came to Sherwood Forest, where there's like this festival here, and she meets a guy. It's a romance.
Romances are good.
Romances are good. The last one I have here, the Jennifer Roberson Lady of the Forest and Lady of Sherwood. I have a strong memory of reading Lady of the Forest while being on vacation in France and there being sexy times in it.
Nice.
Or at least kissing and liking that part of it. I don't know anything else about it. I can't remember a darn thing. We have an advanced copy of one called Nottingham, which is coming out in June 2019. It's by Nathan McCarrick. And it uses sort of modern vocabulary, and it teases whether Marion is the real criminal or Robin is. And it's super dense, so I haven't had time to, like, skim it even. But it seems to have been adapted from a stage play based on the notes and is the first in a series. So if you're looking for something, it seems a little bit different, maybe in a good way, then you might pick that one up.
I was super excited to get it in the mail and bring it home to you.
I know,
and
the timing was great.
Yes, it was right when we started planning this episode.
I'm super excited about the new Megan Spooner that's coming out in 2019, March, called Sherwood, which she's the one that wrote the retelling of Beauty and the Beast that I've talked about on this podcast, called Hunted. And so this is about Maid Marian, who is betrothed to Robin, who dies in the Holy Land, and she is being pursued by Guy of Gisborne, who wants to be her new fiancé, and she dons Robin's green cloak and takes up his sword, never intending that anyone should mistake her for Robin. Or maybe he doesn't die in the Holy Land, but anyway, he's dead.
She killed him.
But she never intended to become a legend, but all of Nottingham is crying out for a savior.
Well, that sounds good.
Right. I have two more. One is Ava Howard's League of Archers, 2016. Eleanor Dre is a novice nun who hunts at night in a forest with her friends. And Robin Hood, they find Robin Hood killed with a poison arrow, and she gets blamed. Maid Marian is her abbess. So she and her friends become outlaws and have to find the real killer, protect the abbey, and keep Robin Hood's legacy alive.
Also sounds good.
Right? The other one. So many. Where did I put it? Is something friend of the podcast Angie gave to me. It is Robin Hood and Other Outlaw Tales, edited by Stephen Knight and Thomas Olgren. It is part of the Teams Middle English Text series. It is...
It has the legend in Middle English.
723 pages long. And it has all of your primary source material that you might want. Including stories, plays, ballads, and so on from the... I think from the 1400s forward. So, this is your... This is your heavy scholarly tome if you are interested in the actual source of the Robin Hood legends. I have not read this book, but I have it just in case.
As usual, the show notes will be copious and will include links to some of the things that we have been discussing, most of the things we've been discussing, but most importantly, this article that I read that sort of put it all in context and was maybe like a 7-minute read, which is a big selling point for me. I am super excited that this 700-page tome exists, and I really just want to know, was he real? When was he? Did he actually hook up with Big John or Little Marian? And do we have proof?
Are you hurting me?
No.
So, the one that we haven't discussed is one that you recently paged through, Robin Y.N. Hood, Riot Girls, Volume 1, a graphic novel.
And I wasn't going to mention it at all, because I was looking at it for entirely prurient reasons. It is a male-drawn action graphic novel with boobs for days. And you all know that I am pro-boob here, and we, in general, at BFHQ, are pro-boob. There's a little bit of Green Arrow going on, which we haven't gotten into at all. And she's got some kind of power. She seems to have a golden eyeball with a scar across it. There is a cat. If you are a fan of cats, there is a cat.
This is good. There's also another graphic adaptation beyond this one and the Muppet one. Tony Lee's Outlaw, The Legend of Robin Hood from 2009. It's got like a blocky art style and, as far as I could tell, like a pretty standard storyline. So if someone just wanted a graphic version of the basics, this seemed like it would be the best choice, probably.
Okay.
It's funny that you bring up Green Arrow, because for a while I liked reading Green Arrow comics because he looked like Robin Hood.
Oh, isn't he a Robin Hood?
Yes.
Analog?
I mean, yes. And, but Oliver Queen is not a great, I mean, he's a very Robin Hood analog, and I think I don't like Oliver Queen, and maybe I don't even like Robin Hood. Who knows? So one of the things that I read when I was going through the books that I sourced was a quote from James C. Holt, which said that tales of Robin Hood have always reflected what the teller and audience needed Robin Hood to be at the time of the telling.
I appreciate that.
I did too. So what I want us to do is to create a casting of Robin Hood that reflects what we need at this time.
Okay.
We did a casting call.
We did a casting call. We have a variety of actors in our list. You out in BF listener land may already know that we are interested in casting all women in everything.
Or non-binary folks. Yes. We're mostly just interested in not men.
So we have a pretty good list of actors we are interested in seeing do things, and we have a list of the principals in the Robin's Hood we have pursued. And so, I have a list of them.
So I think we should settle on our Robin Hood. I think we should pick between, for Robin Hood, Sarah Ramirez and Tessa Thompson.
Oh my God. I am in complete agreement with those two being our Robin's Hood finalists. I think I'm going to go with Tessa Thompson.
I was just going to say, Tessa Thompson for Robin Hood. And Sarah Ramirez for Little John?
Yep.
And then I'm thinking Letitia Wright for Will Scarlet. Because Will Scarlet's like usually a little bit younger sometimes. A little bit flashy.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound?
Yep, this is good. So we've got Letitia Wright, Tessa Thompson, and Sarah Ramirez. So next up...
Do your Friar Tuck pick was good. I liked it. So Friar Tuck is the... Usually the jolly, drunken friar, comic relief.
He's comic relief, and he is a clergyman.
Right.
And he is
occasionally marries Robin and marrying at the end of something. Yeah.
But he's also a caricature of a clergyman. And he, in most of the adaptations we have seen, he has been a portly fellow.
Yeah.
And I decided that I wanted to not go in that direction, and so I cast Rita Moreno. Because she, in part because of her nun role on Law and Order. If you haven't seen this, you know, you may know B.D. Wong is a really great psychologist, and Rita Moreno is a nun who does a lot of social work. And that role is what made me want her to be Friar Tuck.
Great. I am on board with Rita Moreno as Friar Tuck. So Maid Marian or Marian is a little trickier.
Super tricky.
I'm almost inclined to put Priyanka Chopra in there because she's really pretty and she filled that role well in Baywatch, where she was really pretty, but she was also an evil genius.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that I can go along with that because she's just super pretty. And if you have watched Quantico, you know that she's tough too.
Right.
And so in our script, she will not cut off all her hair, but she might shove it up under a hat and go off to the Outlaws bar
or something
and warn them about something.
So that will put her, if we play it straight, as the love interest of Tessa Thompson. Does that work out?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do Alan Adale. She is the bard figure.
Yes, so the troubadour, bard.
And you enjoyed the casting of Alan Doyle, the actual singer.
So I was into that, and so that was why I ended up with Brandi Carlile on my list. But I'm not wedded to that. I could have it be Awkwafina.
I think I'm kind of interested in Awkwafina as Alana Dale.
All right. Awkwafina, it is. I'm marking things off the list so that we can work through.
So much the Miller son is the person, this might also be a good Awkwafina role. The person who usually almost gets killed or caught by the sheriff's men because they're poaching the king's deer in the Sherwood Forest, which you're not supposed to do. And then becomes a merry man. So this is like a person who maybe isn't super smart always, but is a good person. So if we're using up Awkwafina on Alana Dale, which is fine, I think it would be fine to put Melissa McCarthy in the Much the Miller's Son role, because I think that she would bring more to it than most people bring to the role.
Yes. It can be a throwaway role. It is not. It's present in almost every retelling we've seen, and it is really variable in its significance in the piece.
So that leaves us with three bad guys, and then King Richard, who usually shows up at the very end. The position has been best occupied in the ones we've seen by Sean Connery. Like, Sean Connery is the guy you're like, oh yeah, there's right. Sean Connery, he's King Richard.
Right.
Okay. So let's start, let's leave him till the end.
Okay, we'll leave him till the end, her. Well, these are all going to be ladies. So we've got three bad guys. We've got Prince John,
yep.
who is a surly younger brother, spoiled kind of thing. Okay. We've got Guy of Gisborne, who is Prince John's henchman
uh-huh.
and
occasionally
pretender to Maid Marian's hand.
Yes, usually, yeah. And we have the Sheriff of Nottingham, who is like a glorified thug kind of guy, slash, it depends on the version. Sometimes he's a misunderstood Norman.
Right. So we are working with some actors. So we've got this one and this one and this one.
You know, I feel like if Priyanka Chopra is the Maid Marian.
Yes.
You need someone as Guy of Gisborne who is like different enough from Robin Hood.
Who is Tessa Thompson.
Right. So I think Cate Blanchett as Guy.
Okay.
Works fine, because you have contrast there, and then when Cate Blanchett and Tessa Thompson have a duel, it will be just like in Thor Ragnarok.
Perfect. It will be exactly like in Thor Ragnarok. Everyone will work
together again.
So we've got Prince John and the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Okay, so.
And I think the Sheriff of Nottingham is Gwendolyn Christie.
Okay.
Because she can wield a sword, she can run the town into the ground, she can be evil.
Sure.
Captain Phasma.
Okay.
Okay. And Prince John is the surly younger brother to King Richard the Lionheart. So it looks like from what we have left on our list and how our casting is going that Constance Wu is Prince John. And in our final casting, drum roll, please.
Wait, I have a drum roll.
Michelle Yeoh.
All right. Oh, King Richard.
I'll do anything for you. Can I wear your green ring? We have some great actors who did not make the cut, and we're sorry, we'll get around to you next time. A couple of things that I honestly can't remember if we talked about this earlier.
We did. But all you did it? Not talk about the okay. top one on okay. the list.
So we talked a little bit about things that happen in all of the Robin's Hood, and
wait, you talked about it, so let me talk about things that happened in every Robin Hood, because
right, no, you should give us, the complete overview.
So, yes. Sometimes he comes back from the Crusades, usually he has someone with him, in a few of them, in an, I don't know, misguided attempt to add some color, they have Jamie Foxx or Morgan Freeman as a sidekick. That always works out super well.
It's always a guru sensei thing.
Ooh.
Nothing like some cultural appropriation.
So he starts acquiring merry men. So he's on one side of a small bridge across a flowing water, and Little John is on the other side, Little John being a large person. And they have a quarterstaff battle, and Robin Hood usually gets dunked, but Little John is like, hey, you did a great job almost beating me, little man.
I remember this part.
Can I join your squad? And they, in another vignette, they stumble across this drunken friar, and he, like, makes the friar carry him across running water. Again, I don't know what the thing is on his back, but then the friar, like, dumps him off, and they have a battle. But then Friar Tuck's like, let me just join your band. There's Much the Miller's son who gets into trouble, and they rescue him, and then...
He's poaching. He gets caught poaching, or he gets almost caught poaching, and Robin saves him from being poached.
Right. Often, Will Scarlet is, like, already his buddy. Like, in Robin Hood, Adventures of Robin Hood, Errol Flynn, he's already his buddy, and he wears Scarlet. And in Prince of Thieves, he's his tortured half-brother, Christian Slater. So there's, like, two extremes there, and Will Scarlet usually falls in between.
And sometimes he has red hair.
Sometimes he has red hair. The bard may or may not show up. There's no, like, bard meeting story. Like, he's there.
There's not. And he is there, a part of the Merry Men, in a couple of them, and he is not super evident in all of them.
Some of them, he was in love with Maid Marian, went away, and then came back, and was like, you're still hot. And then some of them, he's like, who are you? But, you know, he's usually in love with Maid Marian. And... most of them, there is an archery competition where Prince John / Guy of Gisborne / the sheriff are trying to catch Robin Hood. And so they have an archery competition, and they figure they'll open it to everyone. And because Robin Hood is such a proud,
cocky
guy, that he'll have to enter in disguise and try to win it because, A, the prize is like... Maid Marian's glove, or B, like, the title of best archer in the land will be yours, or whatever. So there's always an archery contest, or there should be an archery contest, in which Tessa Thompson outbattles everyone, and splits, so there's a perfect bullseye arrow, and everyone's like, oh, no one could possibly do better than that, that person's already won. And then Robin Hood splits the arrow in two. It's very dramatic, with varying levels of special effectness.
Yeah, but there's always the split arrow.
It's important. You have to include the split arrow.
In the archery
contest. I hope you can find a gif of some arrows being split.
I'm sure I can.
Then they can go off in various directions from there, but once you have the archery contest, you've fulfilled your obligations.
And you can do whatever else you want, including having Robin Hood write the Magna Carta.
Yeah, or something like that. So, that's Robin Hood. I think we spent enough time on that. Do you have any obsessions?
I am always obsessed with all of the things. What is your musical obsession?
Well, I have three musical obsessions.
Oh, good. Maybe I'll borrow one.
You can't borrow any of my musical obsessions. Get your own.
Cranky.
You get your own. Okay. So, my first one is a song called Postcard by Jukebox the Ghost. Now, this is a song that was playing when you and I went into Whole Foods to pee in Seattle. And I heard it playing, and I was like, oh, I like the way this song sounds. So, I Googled it at the moment, and then I bought it, and then I listened to it. What?
Go ahead.
And the more I listen to it, the more I completely dislike the singer, because it's a whiny guy, and he's like, we're just gonna forget the indiscretions of the past, and it's okay, you go away, and you kiss him under the starlight, and maybe you'll send me a postcard, and you can come back anytime, and I'll take you back. You know, so I spend my time shouting at the song, like, she's broken up with you, dude. She's not calling you because... you're being clingy. However, if you like the genre of male plaintive, like if you like Ben Folds 5 and you like Guster and you like guys that are a little bit sad sounding, this is a perfect song for you.
Okay.
Next, I've got The Breeders' Divine Hammer.
Okay.
And I just like the idea of flashing a divine back. Hammer that she's going to use all day. Every day.
Is she going to hammer in the morning?
Yeah, in the nighttime.
Is she going to hammer in the evening?
All over this land.
Okay.
And the last one is a song called All Night by Walk the Moon, which we have a different song on the playlist already. But this one has like a super 80s synthy sound. And I'm just obsessed with like this, it's like this clapping, hammering sound that
or I can't sneeze. Describe.
But it sort of reminds me of like a Peter Gabriel song or something. And so that's why I like it. What about you?
I have a list of musical obsession song ideas in my phone because I have been stumped by this too often, and I can't remember what some of them are. So, over Christmas, we watched the first half of season 3 of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and we really enjoyed Let's Generalize About Men.
Oh yeah, we did.
That was good. So I would like to add that to our musical obsession playlist.
Okay.
Do you have a regular obsession?
I do not. I just have musical obsessions, but I have a lot of them.
You really do. I am obsessed.
I mean, I'm obsessed with Robin Hood.
Right, you are obsessed with Robin Hood.
This whole episode has been about my obsession.
This is true, and that's why we have this episode. My obsession... We mostly try to keep it light around here. And every now and then we get less light and we are acknowledging of the dark in many ways. And I am currently obsessed with my depression. Woo! I am taking measures to lighten it up a little bit. And it's kind of consuming a lot of my energy and effort. And I am not thinking about a whole lot else. Yay!
Hey, but we recorded a podcast! Woo!
Yeah, we got an episode recorded. Yay!
Yay!
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Bellwether Friends, BellwetherFrnds. You can find us on Facebook. We're on Tumblr. If you want, you can look us up on iTunes and leave us a review. I'm Anna, and you can find me online at Helga Grace, HELGAGRACE.
I'm Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at Surly Spice, SURLYSPICE.
Our In and Out music was provided by Julie Jurgens. You can find her on Twitter at Hi Miss Julie, HIMISSJULIE.
Bye! Bye. Welcome. Sorry, start over again. Welcome and bienvenue. Welcome.
Strangers, étrangers.
No, the one in German is not strange.
I know, I'm sorry, I don't know.
But I don't know what it is either.